before I went to print on the book, I thought, you know, I can't just thumb suck a number because that's what everybody else has been doing. And I want to be slightly more scientific about it. And with the benefit of aerial photography and satellite photography, you can do a lot more, be a lot more specific and accurate. And remember that I've been walking these mountains and these ruins for a number of years now. So it's only once you've been at the ruins on ground level and you know what they look like on the ground, and then you look at the satellite photographs and you see what that area looks like from satellite,
mm-hmm.
then you can suddenly compute, okay, that's what it looks like from the satellite pictures. Now you can start extrapolating that and looking at other areas and seeing where you see the same formations.
Precisely.
And that's when suddenly the lights went on for me, and I discovered what I now call the three lost ancient cities. One is in the area that I live in, which is near Waterfallbuffen in Mpumalanga. That's where it really is thick and dense. Then the other one is near Rustenburg, where I actually went to school, which also incorporates the Sun City, the holiday resorts of Sun City, where they play the golf tournament every year.
Sure.
They built the Palace of the Lost City there accidentally on the ancient civilizations. They're not even aware of this.
That's amazing.
There's another lost city there. And then there's the other one, which is incorporates Great Zimbabwe and the large area around it. Now, each one of those cities, those lost, vanished cities, is probably about 10,000 square kilometers. So it's about 100 by 100 kilometers. So they're 60 by 60 miles.
Huge.
So if you compare that to the size of LA or London, it's a lot bigger than any
other. And these were all ancient gold mining sites as well? These three sites? Okay.
Exactly. And then I started counting on Google and on satellite how many of these there are. And I estimate that there are at least 3 million of these stone ruins per lost city.
Let me ask you this, Michael. Regardless, let's just toss out for a moment the Anunnaki theory, which I think is the most plausible. But
yeah.
let's just toss that out. How old are these ruins? What do you think?
Our dating is going back to about 280,000, 300,000 years, around there. The fascinating
Amazing.
Thing is that, yeah, George, it's you know, what we've done, there's so much ground to cover here that it's just like I'm sort of gasping for air trying to know, okay, where should I go next, you know?
I mean, it's just incredible.
With the stone tools, remember, we've now uncovered a completely different class and a type of stone tool that is directly linked to these stone structures and these settlements. And they are completely different from any other stone tools. In fact, when I started collecting these tools and showing them to archaeologists, they told me I was stupid, I didn't know what I was doing, and I'm wasting my time. And we've realized now that this is a whole new class of stone tools that has never been recognized before. And we've got them by the thousands.
What do they look
rooms.
Like?
They are a very conical kind of stone, a stone that's been shaped into a very conical, like an ice cream cone almost. It's rounded at the top with a slight edge on the one side and then comes down to a point on the other side. And this is just a repetition of this particular stone tool. What they use it for, I have no idea. But what we do know is that they were not carved or chipped. They were molded. And that's what makes them so unique.
Okay. They were molded.
They were molded. Now, a few other anomalies that we have to throw out there is that all these millions of stone ruins were built from the same kind of stone. Okay, they didn't just use any kind of stone that was lying around. It was a very specific stone.
This was stone that was there, or did they bring it in?
No, it was brought from elsewhere. The stone is not necessarily always the bedrock stone where the structures are. It seems to have been brought from other areas, in the rivers, in the riverbeds, because all the stones that formed the original structures, we've got to distinguish now. Remember, we're dealing with thousands and 300,000-year period here. So there have been many civilizations that have come since and rebuilt on top of these original structures. And that's what causes the confusion with archaeologists.
All right.
Okay. That's what confuses a lot of archaeologists. And the poor guys just don't know where to turn because they don't have broader sort of background of the Anunnaki and the gold mines. So they look at the ruins and they see, okay, well, this was built by the migrating tribes from the north about 200 or 400 years ago. And that's where it ends, you know, currently. Okay.
No, they need to have a basis of this historical event in order to even move forward, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Now, the stones are all the same stones, the original structures. And then you see the, you know, the later civilizations using other stones on top.
Why didn't they have doorways?
Well, they didn't have doorways, and this is the other anomaly. The original circles did not have any entrances or doorways, and that is written on many archaeological reports from, you know, over 100 years ago already, and that was one of the anomalies that has caused a lot of confusion. How do you build a circular stone structure, which is either a dwelling or a place of worship or a place of work or whatever?
With no doorway.
No doorways. And, you know, then in the next breath, our very clever historians say, well, it must have been built by a small family of 15 to 20 people as they were migrating south. And then you go, you know, which planet do you come from, dude? Have you thought about this? You know?
They probably came from Nibiru.
Yeah. Have you thought about this? Practically, you know, in one sentence you say, wow, here's this huge structure. It's got 100 meter circumference. There's a lot of internal, complex internal structures, but there's no doorway and no entrance. And then suddenly you realize that each one of these ancient original stone circles was linked by a road or a channel of sort that was walled. These walled roads had run for thousands and thousands of kilometers, linking each and every single one of these original stone circles.
How tall were the walls?
That boggles the mind.
How tall were the walls?
At the moment, the tallest wall we have in the ruins is about 3 meters tall. So it's about 9 feet, 10 feet tall.
All right, that's pretty good size.
Some of them are reasonably tall still, but most of them have been reduced down to, you know, 4 or 5 feet.
Well, there's got to be a reason why these channels, or if that's what they were built. There's got to be some purpose. I don't think it's not to direct people to walk in and out, or maybe it is.
Yeah, thank you, George. You put your finger right into the most important aspect of this. And this is why our journey of discovery has been such an exciting thing, because, you know, you first look at these aerial photographs and you see, oh, look at all these roads linking these circles together. There are thousands of them, and they all go straight into the circle, but they don't have any entrances. Once again, there are no doors or entrances in or out of these channels or these roads. They run into the circle and they end either on the outer wall, or if they don't end there, they go into the inner circle and they end at the wall of one of the internal structures. Now, each and every one of these stone circles is unique. It is a completely unique structure. It's almost as if it's a fingerprint of some sort of flow of energy or something. Now, when you start looking at the stones, the kind of stone that was used to construct these ruins, and you realize that they ring like bells, suddenly the alarm bells start to ring. And if you know anything about sound frequency...
Yep, there's some resonance there, right?
Exactly. Well, now we're dealing with circular structures built of stones. They're known as hornfels. They are metamorphosized quartzite. It's about 54% silica dioxide and about 24% aluminium and about 18% iron. And the rest is really insignificant, but it's those three metals that are the most significant component of this.
These things were like, it was like an energy plant or something.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And it took us how many years to figure this out?